Hello, I'm Tom Moan, and today I'm beginning an old and yet continuing adventure. In 1968, my family and I returned to Tulsa, where I became the general manager of KOR-UFM and Oral Roberts, radio announcer. At that time, from 1968 until March of 71, I had a daily program entitled Good Morning, Brother Pilgrim. And now, after 50 years, I'm resurrecting it with a new title, Good Morning, Fellow Pilgrim. And a pilgrim is a person who's on a journey, and in this case, a journey of the kingdom of God on earth as Jesus prayed. So I hope you'll join me as we look into the past, the present, and the future.
This is the Good Morning, Fellow Pilgrim podcast with Tom Moan for September 16th, 2019.
Well, good morning, fellow pilgrims. What a delight it is again to be with you today. I just invite the Holy Spirit, as we always do when we come together, to lead us and guide us and show us the ways of life in Jesus, or the life of Jesus and how it expresses itself in and through us as sons and daughters of the living God. What a marvelous gift the resurrection life of Jesus is, and the gift of the Holy Spirit poured out on the day of Pentecost. I want to read a couple of verses from the Sermon on the Mount and talk a little bit about the way the world looks at things, the way the church world oftentimes does, the religious world, and the way that Jesus would prefer that we would not only look at things. By that I don't mean inanimate things, I mean relationships and government, because the kingdom of God is all about governing. But how are we supposed to govern? Surely not as the world governs. When we look out into our world today, we cry out, oh God, is there godly government anywhere? And then when we look to the church and we ask the church, are you demonstrating godly government? Oftentimes, as one man has said recently, the church is kind of like a franchise. It doesn't seem to be much different than the way the world handles authority. And so we've got to find a new way, the way that Jesus breathed on people. So I'm going to begin to read just a few verses from the Sermon on the Mount and then some others from the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 6, verse 1. Beware of practicing your righteousness before men, to be noticed by them. Otherwise you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. When therefore you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be honored by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your alms may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will repay you. And when you pray, you are not to be as the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners, in order to be seen by men. Truly I say to you, they have the reward in full. But when you pray, go into your inner room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will repay you. And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition, as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then in this way, and then follows the Lord's Prayer. Just some comments about this. Oftentimes we find that people in the world, and oftentimes in the church, as there's a desire to be acknowledged rather than doing things before God, coming into relationship with God, desiring the trumpet before you when giving, or to practice your righteousness before men. Oftentimes we've seen that in the church, and I think that that's a sad, sad reality. Jesus, in the 23rd chapter of Matthew, begins to speak to this about leadership, and not only in your prayer life, and developing that secret place where you and the Lord can come together. But he talks about leadership because we know that government, we've talked about it in the last several podcasts, a great deal. The kingdom of God is the rule and the reign of God through his people on this earth. We need government. We need leadership. But the way that Jesus does it is an entirely different way. So let me read beginning in chapter 23, verse 1, as Jesus begins to speak. He spoke to the multitudes and to his disciples, saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees have seated themselves in the chair of Moses." Now the chair of Moses is a picture of authority, but Moses handled that authority with grace and mercy. And even when, you remember, he made one little mistake, God called him on it because there was a move that was not according to the Spirit. "Therefore, all that they tell you, those who sit on Moses' seat or his chair, do what they tell you and observe, but do not do according to their deeds. For they say things and do not do them, and they tie up heavy loads and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are unwilling to move them with so much as a finger. But they do all their deeds to be noticed by men, for they broaden their phylacteries and lengthen the tassels of their garments, and they love the place of honor at banquets and the chief seats in the synagogues and respectful greetings in the marketplaces and being called by men rabbi. But do not be called rabbi, for one is your teacher, and you are all brothers. And do not call anyone on earth your father, for one is your father, he who is in heaven. And do not be called leaders, for one is your leader, that is Christ. But the greatest among you shall be your servant, and whoever exalts himself shall be humbled, and whoever humbles himself shall be exalted." Do not call yourself leaders. One is your leader, even Christ. The greatest among you shall be your servant. Aren't those phenomenal words to come from the Lord Jesus? Another word for leaders was also teachers. Now I want to go into the 13th chapter of John that we've been to so many times. You're familiar with it, but I want to repeat it because it's a way of describing what Jesus is talking about. Back there in that 23rd chapter of Matthew, where he's talked about don't be called rabbi, in the 13th verse he begins to talk about the seven woes, and they are, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees! You shut off the kingdom of heaven from men, for you do not enter yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in. Woe to the scribes and Pharisees! You devour widows' houses, even for a pretense of making long prayers." There are seven woes, and you might go back and read them. They all speak of a kind of leadership that too often has been seen in the church, a lording it over rather than serving. And in the 13th chapter of John, which to me has been one of the most moving in all of the scripture, it begins with these words, 13:1 of John. "Now before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that his hour had come, that he should depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And during supper, the devil, having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come forth from God and was going back to God, rose from supper, laid aside his garments, and taking a towel, he girded himself about. Now you know what's going to happen, but I cannot read those four verses and just say to myself, my head shakes and I say, here is the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the incarnate God in Jesus Christ, the one who created all things, the one who created man, kneeling at the feet of his creation, taking a towel, girding himself about, pours water into a basin, and begins to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Isn't that awesome? The great Creator washing feet of his creation. Now that's a kind of servitude and leadership that Jesus is talking about that should be in the church, and the kind of leadership and servanthood that the kingdom of God will one day bring fully and completely onto this earth. And it's supposed to begin with the bride of Christ in the church. And too oftentimes I see people, well, there's the one who's the head of that particular group. You got to kiss his ring, or you've got to somehow use the correct verbiage in addressing that person. That's not the way Jesus leads. It's not the way he serves. He serves by laying down his life and washing feet. I want to read the whole portion here. And he poured water into the basin, washed the disciples' feet, and wiped them. When he came to Peter, Peter said, Lord, do you wash my feet? And Jesus answered and said to him, what I do you do not realize now, but you shall understand hereafter. Peter said to him, you'll never wash my feet. And Jesus answered, if I don't wash you, you have no part with me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, he who has bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you're clean, but not all of you. Now you know the story, how he even washes Judas's feet. Peter's response is typical of humanity. Do you realize the graciousness it would take to allow the Lord Jesus to wash your feet when you know who he is? And yet by the Holy Spirit, this is what he does when he comes into the world. At the end of that task, after he's washed all of their feet, he says, truly, truly, I say to you, he who receives whomever I send receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. How do we receive him? How do we know the ones that we should receive? It is those who have that spirit of servanthood. They're not trying to get anything from you. They're not trying to lord it over you in any way. They want to serve you with whatever gift that God has given them. I think that's one of the reasons that the Apostle Paul, in his letter to the Romans, would say the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. In other words, God gives all of us gifts and callings that are meant to be ways by which we serve, bring in the government of God to the church and to the world. But if we begin to look at those gifts and callings for our own benefit, to draw attention to ourselves and say, look at me, those gifts, God doesn't turn around and say, oh, you've misused them, I'm going to take them away. No, it is my contention that those gifts will become our judge. How did you serve? with the gifting I gave you? Did you lord it over them? Did you demand respect? Did you demand honor in the first place at the table and the greetings in the seminary? Brothers and sisters, there is a leadership that the Church of Jesus Christ desperately needs. At the end of the 13th chapter, after his betrayal and Judas leaves, he says to them this, and I've read it to you earlier, "Little children, I am with you a little while longer. You shall seek me, and as I said to the Jews, I now say to you also, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." I think it's at least interesting, after he says that, and it's very, very clear that love was to be the basis, the laying down of his life, the washing of feet. And then he says that they couldn't come right then. You remember he said that? "Where I'm going, you cannot come." That's what Simon Peter picks up on. In the 36th verse, he says, "Lord, where are you going?" And Jesus answered, said, "Where I go, you cannot follow me now, but you shall follow later." Peter said to him, "Lord, why can I not follow you right now? I'll lay down my life for you." And Jesus answered, "Will you lay down your life for me? Truly, truly, I say to you, a cock shall not crow until you deny me three times." This is Peter. It didn't get the main point of the whole washing of feet, of servanthood, of loving the way that Jesus loved. His concern was secondary. Why can't I follow now? Why can't I have it now? It's another way that Jesus says, "You're not ready. You're not able to follow me now." There's so much more to add. Let me close with this prayer. It's kind of an open-ended prayer today. I come in the name of Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, my Savior, Redeemer, Healer, Restorer of life, the Giver of the Kingdom and the Kingdom of God on earth. And I invite you, Holy Spirit, to lead and teach me how to serve as you serve. Give me eyes that see the place of service. Give me a heart that values service like you do. Give me a heart that lays itself down to serve and bring your kingdom in. For your kingdom comes in no other way but the way of service and of the laying down of life. Father God, I pray by your Holy Spirit, by the work of your Holy Spirit coming at the baptism of the Spirit, continue with the winnowing in my soul, O God. Deliver me from the tyranny of self, that I might become truly a disciple of Jesus Christ. Servant. Servant. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
This podcast is available for free download in iTunes and at moanministriesbookstore.com. Sarah Rahm's album, Days of Rain, is available on iTunes and most streaming platforms.